I understood most of this only when I was older. At the time, I just saw that life at home became very difficult. The old man never spoke to Roy or myself except to scold us. He would come home very late, drunk, and we could hear him shouting at Ruth, telling her to cook him food. Roy and I began to feel like we had no one. And when Ruth left the old man, that feeling was not so far from the truth. Ruth left when I was 12 or 13, after the old man had a serious car accident. For a long time, the old man was in the hospital, almost a year, and Roy and I basically lived on our own. Because of the accident, the old man had now lost his job at the water department, and we had no place to live. Then we found a rundown house in a rough section of town, and we stayed there for several years. That was a terrible time. The old man had so little money, he would have to borrow from relatives just for food. This made him more ashamed, I think, and his temper got worse. Despite all our troubles, he would never admit to Roy or myself that anything was wrong. I think that's what hurt the most, the way he would still put on airs about how we were the children of Dr. Obama. Roy and him would have terrific fights. Finally, Roy just left. He just stopped coming home and started living with different people. So I was left alone with the old man. Sometimes I would stay up half the night, waiting to hear him come through the door, worrying that something terrible had happened. Then he would stagger in drunk and come into my room and wake me because he wanted company or something to eat. He would talk about how unhappy he was and how he had been betrayed. Secretly, I began to wish that he would just stay out one night and never come back. In my last 2 years of high school, the old man's situation improved. Kenyatta died, and somehow the old man was able to work again in government. He got a job with the Ministry of Finance and started to have money again and influence. But I think he never got over the bitterness of what had happened to him, seeing his other age mates, who had been more politically astute, rise ahead of him, and it was too late to pick up the pieces of his family. For a long time he lived alone, in a hotel room, even when he could afford again to buy a house. I almost never saw him, and when I did, he didn't know how to behave with me. We were like strangers. But you know, he still wanted to pretend that he was a model father and could tell me how to behave. I remember when I got my scholarship to study in Germany, I was afraid to tell him. I thought he might say I was too young to go and interfere with my student visa, which had to be approved by the government. So I just left without saying goodbye. For some time, Alma had been staring at our father's photograph, soft-focused in the dim light. Now she stood up and went to the window, her back turned to me. "You know, the old man used to talk about you so much," Alma said. "He would show off your picture to everybody and tell us how well you were doing in school. I guess your mom and him used to exchange letters. I think those letters really comforted him. During the really bad times, when everybody seemed to have turned against him, he would bring her letters into my room and start reading them out loud. He would wake me up and make me listen. And when he was finished, he would shake the letter in his hand and say, 'How kind your mom had been. You see,' he would say, 'at least there are people who truly care for me.' He'd say this to himself over and over again.